Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September 11th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips? As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We had quite a bit of 9/11 coverage yesterday to try to get ahead of the propaganda going on everywhere around the country right now. But a quick recap will suffice. We had our guest on, Chris Carlson, discussion of all things liberty. We talked about, quote, commemorating 20 years since September the 11th, 2001. NORAD jets not scrambled. You got to ask the serious question, why? World Trade Center buildings were taken down by thermite explosives. Dr. Jones gave up his career to document that fact, prove thermite was in the buildings. Again, you got to ask the question, why? Where did it come from, and what role did it play? Yeah, the building's falling at near free fall speed, inconsistent with the pancaking theory. No question about that concern as well. Eyewitnesses hearing multiple explosions. What's up with that? Columbian University, I guess they had an Earth Observatory in Palisades, New York, reported, well, different seismic waves. One at 9:59 a.m., one at 10:28 a.m. What about that, ladies and gentlemen? Two planes take down three buildings. What's up with that? Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice were managing the situation in the White House basement bunker while the president's reading books to children. What's going on with that? After 9/11, why did we not secure our southern border? Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about mass psychosis in the nation. Instead of facing reality, the delusional people or population would rather live in their world of make-believe. They got to make sure everybody else supports their imaginary world. And if you don't support that, they get mad. Say somehow you're the enemy. But ladies and gentlemen, we've seen over and over and over government's false flag operations. From the Satigi situation with the syphilis for black people to World War II, knowing ahead of time that we were going to get hit at Pearl Harbor. I mean, there's false flag examples all over the place. Literally sterilizing young women and men back in the early days of America, all over the country, the disabled, etc. I mean, you've got all kinds of skeletons in that closet when it comes to government false flag operations. And you see it now at 9/11. Who did what, where exactly, we don't know. And we'll probably never know. But Ron Paul, literally said Saudi Arabia had a serious investment and involvement there. And we've never really dug and gotten to the bottom of that. In fact, the victim families have been begging for that transparency and reality check for 20 years and can't get it. Supposedly, Joe Biden's going to release documents that'll create transparency on this and classified information. Why should the families, the victims, be suffering for 20 years without being able to get, quote, classified information? Why do we have information classified on 9/11 in the first place? Is there something to hide? Why did the chief correspondent for CNN, why did he basically say right on the spot, hey, I don't see anything large enough to pick up in my hand here. There's just a little bit of rubble scattered around, but no plane, nothing big. This is Jamie McIntyre, chief correspondent for CNN at the Pentagon. He was on site. That's what he said. Then later on, Kira Phillips on CNN, years later, 3 or 4 years later, he basically came back and said, I saw the plane. I saw the fuselage. I saw everything. What about that contradictory testimony? What about the timeline contradictory testimony of Dick Cheney's timeline versus event timelines? What about training exercises on the same day? I don't know what happened on 9/11, ladies and gentlemen, but every time they want to, quote, have a 9/11 commemoration, I think it's up to us, my fellow Americans, to stand up boldly, nobly, and independently and say, hey, I don't know what happened on 9/11, and I don't want to go down every conspiracy rat hole on the planet. But I will say it is not as the government told us. That's for sure. Too many inconsistencies, too many documented realities from medical, from engineering, from physics, from I could go on and on and on. 9/11 professionals telling you it isn't that way. It doesn't work that way. It didn't happen like that. Something's amiss. Something's wrong. People have given up their careers over this. But at the end of the day, just like JFK, we've got a lot of good information. We've got a lot of facts. We can prove a lot of things that the government claims is false. But it's very hard to get to the truth. With that, welcome to the broadcast, Sheriff Mack. Richard Mack with me, CSPOA.org. Do you want to make a quick comment on 9/11, sir?
Did I know what was going on?
No, do you want to make a comment regarding 9/11 20 years later?
Oh, yes, yes, I'm sorry. It just seems to be more propaganda instead of a lamentable, horrible time in American history, and it's used for politics, it's used for propaganda schemes, and I am so much in agreement with you that I want to know the truth and make the best of it, just as Patrick Henry said. You don't need to try to protect me from the truth, and I've been there to New York. I've seen the Ground Zero right after it happened, 6 months after it happened. Jimmy and I got to go there, and I was supposed to be there at the very day that it happened. And it is an extremely sad time, and it's very sobering, and it's touching, and the families do deserve better. But there's still people dying, first responders and a few others, and they were promised by the government to be taken care of, and they weren't, and they're not, even to this day. There was a program on television yesterday, two people who have family members who were promised this, and so more of it, Sam, just boils down to one little thing, and that is, can we trust the people in Washington, D.C. who are in charge of these investigations and who are in charge of putting out information about this? And I'm sorry, Sam, I don't trust a one of them. And it gets worse as you go up to the top. And Biden's not in charge of this country. He doesn't have the authority or right to do any of this. And he gets a big nod from CNN and the correspondents there and the anchors there are even saying that Biden hasn't gone far enough. You know, it's but leaving Biden out of this September 11th, 20th year of September 11th, it just has been one cover-up after another. And I can show you the consistency here of the cover-up. It is this. Waco, back in 1993, and I believe that's when it happened, they hurriedly went in and tore down everything that was remaining, bulldozed everything, and got rid of all of it before they even investigated it.
No evidence now, ladies and gentlemen. You must believe us because, hey, there you go, right?
Right. Well, exactly. And they did the same with the Murrah building in Oklahoma. They hurriedly just got rid of it, and they did the same thing at 9/11 and the Twin Towers. Hurriedly, as much as you can, and it was a painstaking, very slow process, but in the 6 weeks, 2 months, whatever, but the investigators at all three of those places, Sam, said the same thing. We are trying to bring closure to the country. The country needs closure. And I'm sorry, but they said the same thing at the assassination of JFK. We're trying to bring closure to this as best we can. They hurriedly and gave the country exactly what we wanted. Closure. Lee Harvey Oswald did this. He did it alone. He's been killed now, and his murderer is in jail, and we've got it all wrapped up. It's all done. And this whole thing about government being the caretaker or the mortician that's trying to console the victims' families and so on is absolutely absurd and ridiculous. That is not their role, and of course we know that none of them in Washington, D.C. know or understand the proper role of government or their assignment in government. They don't know, and they don't care. And the biggest thing that I take from all of this is that our politicians and our so-called leaders do not care about anything except power, maintaining power, and getting more power.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't believe we have the truth on 9/11. I don't know exactly what happened because they cover it up. They have classified information, and they certainly muddy the waters. But you know what? I don't trust them. And evidence from all kinds of sources, I highlighted a lot of it in the opening monologue here about, you know, there's so many inconsistencies, it's shocking. But again, what do you expect from a government that's out of touch, that's power hungry, and that simply betrays us at every turn? I submit to you the government now, rogue agents in the government have become an enemy of the people. Sad but true. Let's talk about Joe and his belligerence in seconds.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things, and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. Sheriff Richard Mack with me, CSPOA.org. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. 9/11 truth. We don't trust government. Do you? Wow. All right, you got to ask a couple of questions here now on vaccinations. Is Joe persecuting the unvaccinated? Has Biden finally overplayed his hand with vaccine mandates? You got to answer those two questions in your mind, ladies and gentlemen. The CDC has already acknowledged that the vaccines do not prevent the spread of the Delta variant, which they say comprises about 100% of current cases in the United States. So if the vaccines don't prevent the spread, how are the unvaccinated the problem? Believe it or not, I'm convinced that experimental vaccines are, well, they're bioweapons, folks. Yeah, I believe the COVID vaccines are experimental bioweapons at this point. But nevertheless, Joe Biden literally doubling down. Okay? He made this mandate where over 100 million Americans in the private sector are going to have to get vaccinated if they go along with his dictatorial edict. Biden says unvaccinated have to get shots to protect those already vaccinated. That doesn't make any sense to me, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get into it. But first, Joe Biden, here's a clip from Joe. It's his job.
My job as president is to protect all Americans. So tonight, I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week. Some of the biggest companies are already requiring this. United Airlines, Disney, Tyson's Food, and even Fox News. The bottom line, we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers.
Hold on a minute. What did the president just say for a second? Did the president just claim that COVID-19 vaccines don't work? He did say we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers during his nationwide address. So I got a question. How do you protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated? If the vaccinations work, they have no fear from the unvaccinated, do they? What's going on, Sheriff?
Sam, the double talk from Washington just keeps doubling down. It's hilarious what he gets away with on stuff like that. But national media supports you. As I said on your show for the last 20 years, what, 15, whatever it is, especially during the Obama administration, if the national media support you and defend you, you can get away with anything, including murder. This whole thing stinks from the get-go because the way they presented this piecemeal thing, even though it was very rapid, it was a piecemeal thing. You don't need to wear masks. Oh, yeah, you do need to wear masks. This is only going to be 2 weeks. Oh, no, it's going to be two more weeks. No, it's going to be two more months.
We're going to be 2 years and longer. And hey, you don't got to wear masks if you're vaccinated. Well, I guess you do.
Yeah, for sure. And the
vaccines are safe and effective. Now they're not even debating safe and effective. They're just simply saying,
no.
Hey, the government's approved them, and they'll if you get sick, then it'll be not as bad. They're claiming that now.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the flu vaccine. You know, I stopped taking the flu vaccine a long time ago, not because I was worried about what was in it, because the government and CDC and whoever else was promoting it said it's not as effective as we said at the beginning, and it's maybe 50-50, but you're a little bit better off if you take it. And this one's not even that.
But that's even debatable, because you could say you have less struggle if you have the vaccine, maybe from going to the hospital. But later, down the line, after you get through COVID, do you have stronger immunity and more likely that the immunity lasts and is better protection if you're naturally immune versus if you have vaccination immunity? That's something that Joe isn't talking about, and even Fauci's waffling on now.
Yeah, and I believe that people like you and me who have had COVID do have a natural immunity. I've been traveling around the country ever since December when I had it. I have not had any recurrences at all. And I don't wear a mask very often. 90% of the time I don't wear one. And even the other 10%, very rarely do I have it over my nose. And boy, oh boy, the airlines are telling you it's the law that you wear it over both your mouth and nose. That's the law that they quote every 5 minutes on the loudspeaker. And so the whole thing, the whole country has been, according to this one judge, the Supreme Court in Michigan said, we should not be doing any of this and making any rulings or the rule or adhering to the rule of law through hysteria and hype. And that's exactly what has happened. I mean, he called it exactly correct. This is hysteria, hype, which hype is propaganda and brainwashing. And everybody in the news knows that if you tell a lie long enough, people will start believing him. Maybe not everybody, like Abraham Lincoln said. You can't fool all the people all the time, but you can fool a good part of them, and they know it, and they'll just keep with the talking points and the brainwashing points until a good majority believes them and falls in line. And I believe that's what exactly what has happened. Most of the people in this country are getting vaccinated. The percentage, I'm not sure, but I still think it's most of them.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Biden ratcheted up the war. Not only did he create law, which he has no authority whatsoever to do, but I submit to you that Joe Biden is persecuting the unvaccinated at this point. All right?
Of course.
Why do you got to get shots to protect those who have already got the vaccine? Is the vaccine safe and effective? If it is, you shouldn't have a worry. But here's Joe Biden saying our patience is wearing thin. He pits those who are vaccinated against those who are unvaccinated. Listen to whacked out Joe.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine is FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. So please do the right thing, but just don't take it from me. Listen to the voices of unvaccinated Americans who are lying in hospital beds, taking their final breath, saying, if only I'd gotten vaccinated. If only. It's a tragedy. Please don't let it become yours.
Ladies and gentlemen, I did lay in a hospital bed, and I did lay in my own bed on oxygen, and I could not breathe. And I did not say to myself, hey, can I take the unproven experimental bioweapon that would help me? No, I didn't think that at all. In fact, I thought, damn these dishonest people. Why can't I get ivermectin and doxycycline and other natural health and healing cures that I know will do me good? And eventually I found the right people. I got those things. And within hours, I was off oxygen and doing great. And I don't have the vaccine. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I have natural immunity. And so believe it or not, while Joe Biden is lying to you and deceiving to you, believe it or not, Fossey got stumped when he was asked why COVID-infected Americans need vaccines. Why do they need a vaccine? Anthony Fauci said Thursday night, believe it or not, on CNN of all places, that he didn't have a firm answer as to why those who have been previously infected with COVID have natural immunity. Why must they take the vaccine? He didn't even have a good answer. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's a serious problem. But Joe is literally now persecuting those who are not vaccinated. He's saying, hey, they're free, they're safe, they're effective, they're approved and proven to work. They're not approved. That's a lie. The name in which they approved a vaccine, you can't even get that yet. Everybody is still taking the experimental emergency authorized jab. And if you ask the VARS database, they're not safe or effective. In fact, if they're so effective, why do we need shot one, shot two, shot three booster shots? And why are they saying you're going to have three shots a year? If they're effective, why? And if they're effective, why are the unvaccinated a threat to the vaccinated? All right, quick pause. We come back. There's a whole lot more to discuss with Sheriff Richard Mack, CSPOA.org, on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
with Mike Fortier.
20 years after 9/11, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda still threaten the U.S. Condoleezza Rice was national security advisor under President George W. Bush when the attack happened. She tells NBC News about the difficulties we'll face with the Taliban back in charge of Afghanistan.
We're going to have to work awfully hard with no eyes and ears on the ground, no intelligence assets on the ground.
Rice says one improvement from 9/11 is that intelligence agencies are better at sharing information with each other. USA Radio recalling 9/11 with reaction from that day as events unfolded. WNYC TV on the scene as the South Tower collapses.
Covered with bandages and blood. It looks like a lot of them were either on the floor of one of the exchanges. Oh my God!
That happening at 9:59 a.m. New York time, 56 minutes after Flight 175 with 65 people on board from Boston to L.A. flew into the building. This is USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio is looking for a co-host. Yes, you heard me correctly. Nationally syndicated radio show and popular podcast, Rockstar Radio with Billy Gerard, is looking for a co-host. In fact, two segment co-hosts. One will join Billy weekly talking about all things financial, and another for a weekly review of the national real estate and mortgage market. Co-hosting with Billy Gerard could be the move that puts your career into overdrive. For all the details and to schedule an audition with Billy, send an email to bill@rockstar.today. That's bill@rockstar.today. Or go to rockstar.today/co-host for all the details. Rockstar Radio is looking for two expert co-hosts. It could be you. Email bill@rockstar.today or go to rockstar.today/co-host. Being on the radio with Billy will make you the expert in the field. It could take your career over the moon. Get all the audition details at rockstar.today/co-host.
Amazing Grace playing this morning at the Pentagon, a ceremony set for 10 this morning local time. That ceremony part of a somber day for President Biden. He's commemorating the 20th anniversary of 9/11 Saturday with visits to the Pentagon, Ground Zero in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Biden addressing the nation Friday night in a pre-recorded video, praising those who volunteered to punish those responsible.
The 9/11 generation stepping up to serve and protect in the face of terror, to get those terrorists who are responsible, to show everyone seeking to do harm to America that we will hunt you down and we will make you pay. That will never stop, today, tomorrow, ever, from protecting America.
Yes, 9/11 brought out acts of heroism and unity. Women disappearing from public life in Afghanistan, the Taliban ordering all male employees to return to work tomorrow, but female employees must stay home until a proper work environment is provided. Also, a female TV anchor says only three other women are still appearing on air. This is USA Radio News.
Back with you live, Sheriff Richard Mack with me, ladies and gentlemen. So Biden's saying our patience is wearing thin. But at the same time, Anthony Fauci's saying, he said on Thursday night on CNN, he didn't have a firm answer as to why those who have been previously infected with the COCO and who have natural immunity, why do they have to take the vaccine? Yeah, believe it or not, that Dr. Gupta or whatever the last name of that doctor is on CNN literally asked the question. I'm super surprised the question was even asked, but Fauci got stumped. So there's a disconnect between Joe and old Anthony. The problem is it's getting worse, though, because believe it or not, not only do you have to take the jab if you believe that Joe's right on this. I think Joe Biden is persecuting the unvaccinated. I think Joe's become a criminal. He's out of line. He has no authority to make law whatsoever. He thinks he's a dictator. It needs to stop. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki refused to explain why American workers are required to be vaccinated against the COVID-19 virus. But migrants coming across your southern border, well, they're not required to. What do you say to that, Sheriff? All right, we'll try to get Sheriff Richard Mack back. But there you have that, ladies and gentlemen. Very strange. Indeed. Why are Americans forced to take the vaccines, but yet the illegals don't have to? Why is White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki refusing to explain about this? It doesn't make any sense, folks. It's crazy. I don't understand why American workers are required to be vaccinated, but it's crazy. But the illegals don't. Maybe it's because they got ivermectin and they don't need it because they can, you know, take ivermectin, which just like the vaccines will decrease the abuse or how difficult it is to get through the cocoa. All right, so Sheriff Mack, I'm saying, hey, Jen Psaki, the press secretary, literally refusing to answer the question, why do Americans have to be vaccinated, but yet the people coming across the border don't have to be?
Yeah, those questions, like you said about Fauci, you know, you give them the truth, and they can't handle it. And you can't handle the truth. That's definitely going on here, big time. And that should be a simple question for Fauci or for Psaki. Really, that's simple. You know, if all the information were there and everything was true that they're telling us, it's easy to tell the truth. Hey, you know, just spill it. Let's go. But everyone knows that these vaccines have not been properly tested, and Biden was reading the lies again from his staff, whoever it is that really pulls the strings on all of this, that they have been proven to be effective and safe and convenient, and the FDA approved them. The FDA still really hasn't, but I trust the FDA about as much as I trust the White House. I mean, the FDA has done huge things for pharmaceuticals. And the reason we have an opioid crisis in this country that we've almost forgot about is because of the FDA and Congress. And it's just alarming to me that the president thinks he's in charge of all of our health. I'm in charge of everybody's safety here. Keep everybody healthy. That's what I'm in charge. No, he's not. He doesn't even know what his job is. And, you know, if you want to keep us safe, secure the border.
On that alone, he ought to be impeached, right?
Who?
On that alone, he should be impeached, not even knowing what his job is.
Oh, yeah.
Literally thinking he has a job to mandate and make law?
Yeah.
The guy's crazy. Yeah. But here's the deal. So Joe Biden put this in place. Everybody is up in arms about this thing. Biden welcomed a legal challenge from several Republican governors to his sweeping unconstitutional federal vaccine requirements. And here's what he said. Have at it. Go ahead. Sue me. Do whatever you want to. Now, I know you went to the Supreme Court, Sheriff Richard Mack, and it was a long shot. And in those days, you were much younger. And, you know, going to court, we thought was a great idea. And no doubt it was a blessing that you got a win. It was a landmark 10th Amendment decision that was just incredible. And it can be used today because case precedent has already now been set. The ruling decision written by Antonin Scalia. But here's the point that I want to get at. You have learned through your experiences that, you know what, going to court is not really the best answer. And here's what I find interesting, whether it be the vote fraud stuff, where you had literally 20 states up in arms saying, hey, there's vote fraud or whatever. And the judges just said, we're not going to touch it. We're not even going to give you standing. It's already dismissed. We're not going to judge the merits of the case. Gone out. You're done. And then when lawyers have tried to go forward anyway, then judges have come back and said, look, we're going to disbar you. We're going to fine you. We're going to basically destroy their careers. So no standing, destroy their careers. Going to court, you know what? I appreciate a lot of these Republicans to have a lot of guts saying, hey, we're going to sue you. Enough of that. We're not doing it. We're going to do all we can to stop this. Them are fighting words. I appreciate the bold language. But I don't think they have a chance in heck in court on this thing. And I think that the judges will just shut them down, even the Trump judges. Sheriff?
Yeah, you're right. Republican judges, everybody alike, Amy Barrett has proven to be a wimp and has proven not to know and understand the Constitution or principles of liberty. She was rushed through so they could still do it while Trump was in power. And it was corruption on the side of the Republicans that did that.
It's Donald Trump that started this whole vaccine train rolling, right?
Right. Yes, it was. And he's still promoting it. And astonishingly so. he ought to go talk to his ex-wife, Marla, about how she feels about this vaccination. She's gone conspicuously silent on a lot of this. I know she's really disappointed in what's going on, as you and I are. This is the point that you're asking me about my case. In the decision, in the order of the court, in the order of the United States Supreme Court, it says no case by case weighing of the burdens or benefits is necessary. He's talking about a statistical analysis of a law does not equate to constitutionality. And that's what they keep trying to push in this country on this and many other issues. If it's beneficial, then it's obviously a good idea and it's worthy of our legislative authority. That's not how you judge the efficacy of any law or the constitutionality of any law. Does it pass constitutional muster? Is there any place in the Constitution that you are authorized to do this? And that's the thing that Congress has stopped doing now for about 75, 85, maybe even forever since they've been there. They don't think they have to follow the law or the rules. No case-by-case weighing of the burdens or benefits is necessary. Such commands are fundamentally incompatible with our constitutional system. Now, that, oh my gosh. And I left out a couple of words there. Our constitutional, dual constitutionality system. But it's still the constitutional system.
So the point is, yeah, we're talking about dual sovereignty here. We're talking, yes, about you don't need to weigh the pros and cons of what Biden did. The states have no obligation to comply or carry out what Joe, whacked out crazy Joe, dictated at all. And so going to court on this, in my opinion, is a waste of money. You're likely to get split decisions. You could say, well, that'll guarantee it goes to the Supreme Court. Well, maybe not. You know, in the past would have. But nowadays, they'll just simply say, we're not going to touch it. Or if they do, it'll be years in the making. Too late, a dollar short, everybody will be forced to be vaccinated in the meantime, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The only, in my opinion, real remedy here is for states to say, you know what, Joe? You're off your rocker. Congress needs to basically impeach Joe right now and say, you have tried to steal lawmaking authority from us. You don't have authority to do that. You have crossed unforgivable lines. You're out on your ear. We're going to impeach you, and we might criminally prosecute you. That's what the federal government needs to do, using the check and balance of the legislative body, reclaiming their power, saying, no, Joe, you don't have our authority. You're in the wrong branch of government, sir. That's on the federal level. On the state level, they just simply need to nullify now and say, you know what? Sheriff Richard Mack's case proves we are not subjects to you, Joe. We've got dual sovereignty. We're simply not going to carry out your thugocracy rules that don't have any basis in law whatsoever. When we get back, Sheriff Mack responds on your radio.
How many times do I have to tell you? I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other. Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden welcomed a legal challenge from several Republican governors to his sweeping and unconstitutional vaccine mandate and or testing requirements. He mocked Republicans. He says, go ahead, debate, fight me on this. Have at it. Have a good time. Because Joe knows he can play games with emergency powers. We've done that with emergency war powers. We've done that with the emergency via the COVID for literally 2 years. And anything that they want to do, they're allowed to get away with and do. But the states don't need to go to these robed judges. Why do we think 1, 2, 3, 4, 9 robed thugs should decide everything in this country? So I believe going to the Supreme Court or trying to go to court and suing over this is the wrong remedy, because you're going to get split decisions. You're going to get a lot of confusion. You might not even get standing. You're going to be shut down, and then you're going to be like, oh, I guess we're done here. No. You need to understand the checks and balances on the federal and the local level. On the federal level or the national level, Congress needs to assert their authority and impeach the president and say, you're out of line, sir. Take it back, or you're out of line, and we're going to impeach you, and we're going to sue you for criminal activity. Okay, you don't have any authority. You're not a king. You're not a dictator. That's the federal level. On the state level, they simply should just say, due to dual sovereignty and due to the Sheriff Matt greatest 10th Amendment case rendered in history, you know what? We're not doing it. We have no obligation to carry out your wrongful order, your unlawful order, Biden. Joe, we're not doing it. And the states could simply flex their muscles right now and nullify now. Sheriff?
Yeah, exactly. What I learned from going to the Supreme Court is that I should have never asked permission from federal courts to support federal legislation or not. You're on their turf. These judges have to please the president in order to get any promotions, or the reason they got appointed by a certain president is that they've basically promised the president they'll adhere to his agenda. We've seen that. It happened in my case. The five Republicans sided with me. The four Democrats sided with Clinton. And that's just obvious that they're not adhering to any principle. They're not trying to find the Constitution of edicts or tenets or principles in the Constitution. They're going along with the political dogma and agendas. Now, let me say that one more time from the order of the court. It was no case-by-case weighing. It's the last sentence of the order of the court. No case-by-case weighing of the burdens or benefits is necessary. Such commands are fundamentally incompatible with our constitutional system of dual sovereignty. Doesn't change that. Even when you add of dual sovereignty, doesn't add anything. It's contrary to our constitutional system. And then, right after that, in my little booklet of the case, I add the dissenting opinion. And this pretty much explains what Biden is doing. Because the four Democrats said this: if Congress believes that such a statute will benefit the people of the nation and serve the interest of cooperative federalism better than an enlarged federal bureaucracy, we should respect both its policy judgment and its appraisal of its constitutional power. So that's what the Democrats are leaning on. They're leaning on.
Well, and
on
that's
this
what I'm
idea.
Saying. If Congress really believes something needs to be done here, they're the lawmaking body. Let them face the public.
Yeah. Well, but it's basically endorsing one thing and one thing only on that statement. And that is that you can do whatever you want. That's what that says. If Congress believes, that's all they have to do. If the president believes this is going to help, then that's all he needs. He doesn't need constitutional principles. He doesn't need to refer to Article 2 of the Constitution and see what he is allowed to do. He doesn't need to do that. They've already told him and Congress, you can do whatever you want as long as you believe it will benefit the country. He starts with, I'm supposed to be protecting everybody. Yeah, you're supposed to be protecting our liberty so that we can run our own lives. The whole thing was government stays out of our life and stays out of the way, and we run our own lives, and you guarantee an equal playing field and an equal opportunity for all of us, for all Americans. And they absolutely have no clue what that means. It's all about agenda and their political agenda. And it's right out of some scriptures that I'm very familiar with. Why do they do this? To gain power and to keep power and to destroy the liberty of all nations. And that's exactly what's going on, Sam. This is the most evil, destructive movement in the history of the world. It is evil. It is destroying our Constitution, destroying America, destroying agency, and destroying our right to self-govern. And now we're all spinning in all of this corruption, and we don't really know where to go for a solution. Governors coming out and saying, we're going to sue. No, governors, you don't need to sue. You need to do. You need to stand and stop this. And just say, that was really cute, Biden, but it will not be happening in our state. And that's what those governors should come out unitedly saying. You don't have any authority to tell us to do anything. We are not subject to federal direction. Another quote from the Matt Prince case. We are not subject to federal direction. You do not run the states. These colonies are and have right to be free and independent states. Quote, right out of the Declaration of Independence. We are independent states. And we're going to be united, yes, with a small u in standing against your tyranny. And Sam,
there you have
it,
ladies and gentlemen. You don't need to sue. What you need to do is do, ladies and gentlemen. And that's really kind of the important thing to understand. And that's where I believe in America, we've just kind of made mistake over mistake over mistake or whatever else, folks. Why are we depending on these judges to answer everything? You know, we don't give Congress, the lawmaking body, a discussion on this. We just give courts. That's the fewest people making the biggest decisions. That's the people that have no accountability for their decisions. You can't get to these judges if they make a decision. What do you do? Who do you go to? What's it? So they're giving these people the last right of refusal on what the president has authority to do or not, where there's no end in sight. After they rule, they can either shut you down, take the case, render a decision. It's done then. And if you get a decision against you, then it's going to be 10 times harder to nullify now. So you're actually barking up the wrong tree. And when you do, you're creating your own demise and jettisoning your own ability to use power, as your Supreme Court case already provides the presidents to do. They're making a big mistake going to the courts, I'm telling you right now.
They are, because if they lose, just like I thought when it hit me, one other person votes the other way on the Supreme Court, and I lose, and I make it worse for America. Instead, if the sheriffs had just said in Arizona, written a letter back to Congress and the president, we saw your Brady Bill stuff, and we thought it was a little bit comical how you thought you could tell us what to do. We don't work for you. You can't fire us. You can't hire us. We work for the people of our counties. There's a sovereign line in the sand there, and we are opting out. If you want to come and arrest us, come on ahead. No, Sam, there is no way we should be asking permission of federal courts about federal mandates. The deck is stacked against us. We've already seen the Supreme Court won't even hear stuff about the election fraud, and they should have settled that, and the Democrats should want them to settle it. make a ruling of let's look at the evidence. They don't even want to look at the evidence, Sam. Even judges appointed by Trump don't want to look at the evidence. And so, no, we do not ask permission to keep our oath of office. We already swore the oath. Keep your word. That's where we need to go.
So let me summarize the solution, ladies and gentlemen. Sheriff Mack provides solutions from his Supreme Court win, the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered in history. Governors, you don't need to sue. You need to do. Nullify now. They've already got Supreme Court case precedent in their favor with the Mack win. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, these governors and these Republicans, all these different groups, attorney generals, everybody else, all up and down the line, they're going the wrong direction if they want to go to court. Biden's already mocking you, going, if you get a court, I'm going to win. I have emergency powers, which they've given me for decades. With me meaning the president. The president has had these for they're wrong, they're unconstitutional, but I'm telling you, the courts will go with it. All they've got to do is deny you for standing or shut you down in the courts, and now you're in real trouble. What the states need to do is depend on the dual sovereignty doctrine. They need to nullify now and just say, you know what? That's not happening in my state. I'm not obeying that order. If you want to sue me, Biden, go ahead and sue me. But I'm not going to tolerate this in my state. And we need governors to have guts and backbones. Here's the sad part. Nobody really even has the training and the knowledge, really, and the experience or the president to do what you're suggesting, Sheriff. But the founding fathers did.
Well, they did. Yes, we need to get back to that, obviously. And this case does not bestow any courage on anyone. You're going to have to find that on your own, Governor. And a lot of these governors are courageous, just as you mentioned. They're spouting out some great rhetoric. But they're wrong about saying go to their courts to ask permission to do what we know we should be doing. Stop sending money to Washington, D.C. from your state. There's you some civil disobedience.
You know what we need to do right now, Sheriff, in my humble opinion, is we need to get to all these governors. There's 19 or 20 of them that say that they're going to go ahead and do something about this seriously. Some of the most bold, Kristi Noem, Ron DeSantis, etc. We need to get with each one of these governors and say, we have a solution to help you, and we can show them your court case. Give them the information they need, and we just simply need to talk them out of going to the courts, and we need to talk them into nullifying now and standing on their own and saying, we don't need permission. We have court case precedent here. We have dual sovereignty, and we're not carrying it out. Richard Mack beat Bill Clinton over this very topic of what can the federal government dictator, like the president, mandate people on the state and local levels to do, and the answer is nothing. There is no authority to do it, and the court case proves it. We've got to write an article about this solution because it's the real answer. And then we need to try to sit down with and meet with each governor that says they have the guts to do this. They say that they're going to do everything to fight this thing, tooth and nail, all the way, baby. Well, are they all the way in the courts till the judges mock them and shut them down? Or are they all the way and really going to pick solutions that'll work? That's the real question for the governors across this country and the attorney generals across this country, Sheriff.
Well, it is, Sam, and I'm glad you brought that up. And this has been a very powerful show, and I appreciate you bringing up these points. And if the governments and governors had paid attention to my case before, they'd already know this.
Well, we need to work on really hard on helping them. Meanwhile, you're at a training right now, right?
Yes, we're in Cedar City, Utah for constitutional training and inducting our new state director for the CSPOA here.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Hard work going on. Great things happening. We need your financial support and your involvement. Join the CSPOA today. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. I'm a lifetime member. Highly recommend you become one as well. Sheriff Mack, will chat soon. Travel safe, sir.
Thanks, Sam. See you soon.
All right, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. But you got to get involved, ladies and gentlemen. God save the Republic.